Now, are you part of the crowds each Saturday scrambling for an affordable place to rent? We've heard it all before, but now the jury is out. Sydney housing is unaffordable. New data reveals that rent in Sydney and Melbourne is burning a third of a tenant's income. In Sydney, this is up to 37% of that income. So who will be living in Sydney in 5 years' time? To find out more, we're talking to John Cunningham, president of the Real Estate Institute of New South Wales. Good morning, John. How are you doing?
Very good, Mitch. Very good indeed. Thank you.
So as I mentioned, this new data is showing that rent is soaking up a third of the average tenant's income. Would you say that Sydney rent is unaffordable?
Look, without a doubt, we're suffering a massive shortage of property. And unfortunately, the people that cop the burden of that are the people at the end of the line, which is the people paying the rent. So it is a problem, without a doubt.
So what controls or monitors are in place or have been in place for this, and have they not really worked properly?
Look, it goes back to the fundamental shortage issue that I just mentioned, that if you have supply in the marketplace, the market supply and demand determines where the levels will be. At the moment, Sydney's suffering from about a 30,000 home shortage on what the demand actually requires. So over many, many years, subsequent planning and government bodies have failed to meet the fact that Sydney is a growing city, a constantly growing city, international city. It's got a large student population. It's got a lot of issues there that haven't really been addressed. And it's probably now is the first time that I've seen a government address it from a state perspective in a long time with the Bear government's approach to better housing affordability issues.
If we look at somewhere like Hobart, people are only spending about a quarter of their income in that city. So do you think this unaffordable rent in Sydney and Melbourne could drive people to more affordable states and sort of outside cities? What do you see sort of happening as a result?
Look, it's ultimately the way it will happen. I mean, people, if they can't afford to live somewhere, you'll see, like, for example, in the inner city areas of Sydney, where you used to be able to find a significant amount of low-income housing, so affordable housing, particularly for the student market, that's just been gentrified so much. Properties have been improved, old buildings have been renovated, swathes of areas have been redeveloped completely, and it's all been replaced with high-quality, high-value housing. So when you get those situations, it constantly pushes people out of the inner rings, and from the inner rings to the outer rings, and then out to the region. So it's a natural progression, unfortunately, but areas like Hobart, for example, which aren't growing at the rates that the eastern seaboard are growing, become a very attractive proposition.
You mentioned gentrification in the inner city areas of Sydney, which used to have a lot of low rent places to live. And we've seen a relationship between expensive areas to rent and areas where businesses have been hardest hit by the lockout laws, Surry Hills and King's Cross, for example. What do you think will happen to these suburbs over time? How will they sort of change and what will they look like?
Well, that dynamic is changing. There's no doubt about it. And whether it's the lockout laws or all those other gentrification issues where people don't want those sort of things in their neighbourhoods, it sort of tends to skew the mix. I mean, you want vibrant suburbs, you want a mix of people, and I think that's a problem that we need to address. You don't want to, have areas that are just all one sort of generic type of person. So I think the reality is we have to address that in our planning laws, where we do get a mix of cultures, mix of socioeconomic and also ages. So I think it loses its vibe. And you look at the cities of Europe, they've got that. That's what we need to have in our inner city, and it'd be a very, very tragic day to see that happen.
Of course, not everyone is, I guess, on the losing side of this trend. Who benefits from the way things are currently in the Sydney and Melbourne housing markets?
Look, at the moment, it's hard to define a benefit because there's a, if you're a property investor, for example, and you need a rent return to pay your mortgage and so on, those rent returns haven't been that huge over the last 5 years. Rents haven't kept pace with property value increases, for example. But having said that, rents have gone up, not to the extent the values have gone up. And then the landlord's got to pay the land tax and all the other things that go with it. So it's hard to say who the winner is in all of this. The reality is if you add stock levels to the market, so that 30,000 lag is picked up, that will put a lid on prices. Prices don't get out of control. Rents don't get out of control. So it very much is back on the state government to ensure that we do get the housing. But it's got to have a good mix. And I think when you look at developments now have to have a requirement of affordable housing in them. And the Bear government's push to slightly privatise, I suppose, mix it up a little bit to get a better balance, I think is a good way forward. but probably not enough, because the government still relies upon the private sector to provide most of the rental housing accommodation. It's in the vicinity of about 80%. So it's a tricky one, but until you increase that stock and get the levels of values and rents down to a more balanced level, we're going to continue in this spiral.
All right, John, thanks so much for talking to us on 2SER this morning.
Pleasure. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. That's John Cunningham, president of the Real Estate Institute of New South Wales, talking to us about the renting situation in both Sydney and Melbourne. It is soaking up a third of most tenants' income, which is a lot. Is it all about supply and demand? Some interesting thoughts there to see how it sort of pans out over the next few years.